Amen. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Could we declare together the general subject? Amen. God's economy in faith, sisters. And brothers,
God's economy in faith.
Praise the Lord for God's economy, which is in faith. Like was mentioned in the previous session, this general subject is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. That verse says, God's economy, which is in faith. Then the next verse talks about the charge. So there's a very particular charge that Timothy is receiving from the apostle, and that charge is related to God's economy. A term we're probably all familiar with, but we may not be so familiar with the subsequent phrase, God's economy, which is in faith. And it's maybe possible that we could overlook this crucial and essential phrase that God's economy is only carried out in the atmosphere and sphere of faith. In other words, if you and I, if we want God's economy to be real to us, it's only real to us in faith. There's no other place it can be real except in the atmosphere of faith. So I did appreciate from the previous session these two phrases in the outline. The spirit of faith is faith. And then it says, faith is the spirit. So our mingled spirit is faith, and faith is the spirit. But there's another part of our being, which is our heart. Our spirit is crucial, certainly. But brothers and sisters, if you don't have a proper heart, you will not exercise your spirit of faith. Whether or not you will exercise your spirit of faith to participate in the reality of God's economy depends upon your heart. Is your heart willing to turn? Is your heart willing to call? Is your heart willing to participate in God's economy to receive His dispensing? So we have a verse in 2 Corinthians 3:16 which says, whenever the heart turns to the Lord. But you have a converse verse in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. And I'd just like to read this to you because it highlights how critical our heart is if we want to participate in God's economy and faith. Beware, brothers, lest perhaps there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away, or as the footnote says, turning away from the living God. So our heart can have two kinds of conditions. One is a heart that is turned to the Lord, or we can have a heart that is actually an evil heart of unbelief. What kind of heart do you want? We want a heart that is always turned to the Lord. Otherwise, there's the possibility that we may develop a heart that is full of unbelief. But if our heart is turned to the Lord, then we will have a heart that can be full of faith and unbelief. So these two aspects, brothers and sisters, having a spirit that is exercising our spirit of faith, and keeping our heart to the Lord, turned to the Lord, so that our heart is always full of belief and faith. So we come to this message here, which is message 6 in the morning revival that Stephen referred to, but on your booklet is message 2. And the message is entitled, The Linking Faith, The Faith of the Overcomers. It's somewhat a unique title, a very particular title, I feel, and one that we may not be so familiar with. The Linking Faith, The Faith of the Overcomers. Overcomers don't only possess this kind of linking faith. Overcomers are produced by the linking faith. I think we need to take note of this matter, that overcomers are produced by the linking faith. So much of this outline, in fact, I think nearly all of this outline, is taken from this book, which Nathaniel referred to in the announcements. Crystallization study of the Epistle to the Romans, particularly chapters 8, 10, and 11. I would recommend that you purchase this because it highlights a very particular matter which we may not be that familiar with, that is the matter of the linking faith. So the outline is long. There are 10 Roman numerals. Maybe I will section or categorize the Roman numerals for us. Roman numerals 1, 2, and 3 concern the initial stage of faith. Roman numerals 4 and 5, the progressing stage of faith. Roman numerals 6 and 7, the experience of linking faith. And then Roman numerals 8, 9, and 10, the result of linking faith, becoming an overcomer. Shall I repeat them again if you need to write them down? Roman numerals 1, 2, and 3, the initial stage of faith. Roman numerals 4 and 5, the progressing stage of faith. Romans 6 and 7, the experience of linking faith. And Romans 8, 9, and 10, the result of linking faith, becoming an overcomer. So if we come now to Roman numeral 1, in order to be men full of faith. The scripture reference there is Acts chapter 6, verse 5, and that relates the incident where the apostles didn't want to leave the prayer and the ministry of the word. They wanted to serve tables, so they appointed certain men to serve tables. And one of those men was Stephen and six others. But what characterizes Stephen is he was a man full of faith, and he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. Actually, these are not two separate things. If you're a man full of faith, you will be full of the Holy Spirit. And if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you will be a man full of faith. But what is striking to me is that he was chosen. There was something about Stephen that caused him to be chosen. Would you like to be chosen? I'm not talking about being chosen by the triune God in eternity past. That's an accomplished matter. I'm talking about being chosen by the brothers in your locality. Would they choose you for a particular area of service? It all depends on what kind of person you are. It depends on, are you a person full of faith? If you're a person full of faith, then the brothers may possibly choose you for a particular area of service. What qualified Stephen was he was a man full of faith and a man full of the Holy Spirit. Then the Roman numeral goes on to say, we need to see that faith comes out of hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Hallelujah for hearing. Praise the Lord for hearing. Amen. Without our hearing, we have no way to attach ourselves and link ourselves to the source of faith. Faith is not something self-generated. Faith is not something that comes from within our own being. Faith has a source. Faith is a reaction and a response to the word that we hear. So the more we hear the word of God, the more we're in the word of God, the more we study the word of God, the more faith we have. So the more, actually the word of God, brothers and sisters, is not a textbook. It's actually a dining table. We need to present ourselves to the word of God day by day and morning by morning. The more we're in the word, the more faith we will have. But the crystallization of this point, we should read A, the source of faith is the word. But we have to realize the crystallization of this point. There are three aspects of the word. First, there is the written word of God, the Bible. Then there is the living word of God, Christ. Finally, there is the applied word of God, the Spirit. The Bible is the written word. Christ is the living word, and the Spirit is the applied word. Unless Christ is applied to you as the Spirit, the word of God cannot be applied to us. This is a crystallization point concerning the word of God. It's just not a matter of the Bible itself. The written word of God must become the living word of God, and then Christ as the living word must be applied to us as the Spirit. So in Ephesians chapter 6, you have this phrase, which spirit is the word of God? And then in John 6:63, you have this phrase, the words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. The spirit is the word of God, but the word of God is also the spirit. So the word needs to be applied to us, which is Christ as the living word. Otherwise, we will not have the source of faith. We will not have faith in a proper way unless we have these crystallized points concerning the word of God. So B says, the written word, the living word, and the applied word refer to God himself. God's written word in the Bible becomes Christ as the living word, who is applied to us as the Spirit. The word of the Spirit, the more that God is gained by us in this way, the more he becomes our faith. So there's a process here, brothers and sisters. The written word in the Bible becomes Christ, the living word, and when Christ as the living word is applied to us, it is Christ as the word of the Spirit. So when we touch and receive the word in this way, God is gained by us. And the more God is gained by us, then the more faith we have. He becomes our faith. So Romans 2 says we need to see the effect of faith. Nothing is impossible to faith. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. If you have faith, nothing will be impossible to you. Hallelujah for faith. I think this highlights how critical faith is to us. The you here is the person who has enjoyed the word of God, the living word applied to him as the Spirit. Then B in hymn 535, says, written by Charles Wesley, expresses the effect of faith. Stanza 5 says, let me no longer live but thee, indicating that faith always annuls us and reveals Christ to us. If you have faith, nothing will be impossible to you. So C says, only God is able, omnipotent. Nothing is impossible to him. But the Lord also said that nothing is impossible to faith, indicating that God and faith are one. Faith is the subjective God applied to our being. Thus, just as nothing is impossible to God, nothing is impossible to faith. So when we put these phrases together, nothing will be impossible to you, and with God, all things are possible. We realize that nothing is impossible to faith. If you have faith, nothing will be impossible to you. With God, all things are possible. So three goes on. The believers, the believing ones in Christ, are the household of faith. This household is a big family, and the family name is faith. This is the home of faith. We may say that a certain home is the Smith home or the Lee home, but now we are all members of the faith home. So we all have the same family name. Our name is faith. We are members of the household of the faith. Galatians 6:10 has that phrase, the household of the faith. Now, many times we may feel we're lacking in faith. But when we just come together with the brothers and sisters in the meetings of the church, don't you feel different? You might come into the door of the meeting hall or the home in one way, but you leave in another way. You may come in a little bit low, a little bit down, a little bit anxious about something, but just by being with the members of the household of the faith, we are changed. What changes us? It's faith. Somehow, in our being with the brothers and sisters, we become a different person. Brothers and sisters, this really works. this really happens. Many times I've appeared in a meeting one way, but actually have gone out the meeting in another way. To be honest, this happens most Lord's Day mornings. Right? Most Lord's Day mornings, I'm one way at the beginning of a meeting. Especially if I'm the only one there, right? On time. But by the end of the meeting, actually everything is glorious, right? Everything is quite wonderful. All the brothers and sisters are wonderful. What happened was there was a transmission and an infusion of faith. It's mysterious, it's invisible, but it's real. We are members of the household of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. So we should put under our feet any kind of thought of becoming isolated or any kind of thought of not attending the meetings of the church. That's actually one of the stratagems of God's enemy, is to isolate us and separate us from the meetings of the church. So B says, we are members of the great family, the household of faith. This faith house is a house that believes in God through his word. Then Roman numeral 4, the believer's faith in Christ brings them into the life union with Christ. Actually, the burden of the message is somewhat here regarding this matter of the life union with Christ. The word of God is embodied in Christ and realized in the Spirit to be our faith. The believers live Christ and walk by this faith. So the scripture references there highlight the matter of the organic union. We have believed into. This word into is a distinctive word used by John, particularly in his gospel. We don't just believe in God or Christ, we have believed into. To believe is to believe that God is real and true. But we believe something more than that God is just real and true. We've believed into him, and he has entered into us. Something marvelous has transpired within the depths of our being. That is, we have an organic union with the triune God. So we need to treasure this organic union. To treasure the organic union which we have with Christ actually is to treasure our mingled spirit. This is where the union, the mingling, has transpired within the depths of our being. So John 1, 12 and 13, which are on point A, under point A, I'll read point A. To believe into Christ is to receive him and be united with him as one. Hallelujah. We have the life and nature of our Father. Now, some teachers of the Bible, they say that we are adopted. We're the adopted sons of God. We do not agree with that. We are the genuine, regenerated, born-again sons of God. We've received another life. You know, the ministry indicates that if we genuinely saw this and experienced this, we would be very, very excited. There's another life within inside of us. It sounds incredible, and to the outsiders, the unbelievers, it sounds unbelievable. But I'm looking at Aidan here. The God who created this universe actually lives inside of him. And he has an organic union with this God. Are you excited? I feel genuinely excited. I don't look excited, I realize that. But actually, there's another life. We have an organic union with the God of this universe in our mingled spirit. There's one place we should not live, and that's in our soul. Do you know why you shouldn't live there? Because I was enlightened by this some years ago by a footnote in Revelation 12, 11. Our soul life is attached to God's enemy, and we suffer. We suffer from God's enemy in our soul life, in our mind, in our emotion, and in our will. It's not a good place to be. The best place to be is in our mingled spirit. If you're in that other place, the soul life,
God's enemy will trouble you constantly, right? The anxieties. You know, the ministry indicates that our human life can be summarized in one word, anxiety. Have you heard that? Do you ever get anxious? Put your hand up if you get anxious, right? Right? All kinds of anxieties are related to our soul life. But there is not one vestige of anxiety in your mingled spirit. Your mingled, it's a foreign word to your mingled spirit. Your mingled spirit knows nothing of anxiety. Can you believe that? Whenever we are in this organic union, enjoying this organic union, so many things are banished. So many things are swallowed up by the reality of the resurrection life that is within our spirit. So we are one spirit with the Lord. We've believed into him. B says, this faith brings us into the life union with Christ. Faith has done something. It's brought us into a life union with Christ, who is the embodiment of God, realized as the all-inclusive spirit to be our faith. Faith links us with the triune God. Let me read the point this way. Christ, the Spirit, is our faith. Christ, the Spirit, is our faith. It's not something you were born with, and it's not something you can generate. It's actually Christ as the Spirit becomes our faith in a mingled way. So we are one spirit with Christ, and this spirit is our faith. Then C says, as the organism of the triune God, Christ is the true vine, and we are his branches who have been organically united with him by believing into him. We need to remain in this organic union by abiding in him. So John 15:5 says, he who abides in me and I in him. The me there is mingled with your spirit. So to abide in the me, to abide in Christ and have him abide in you, we have to remain in this organic union. We have to remain in our mingled spirit. If we're in this organic union, if we remain here, if we're strengthened into our inner man, faith grows. You know, faith can grow. Faith increases and faith abounds. Then verse 5 goes on to say, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Why do we need to remain in this organic union? Because apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Do you agree? You know, in Genesis 1, it's clear God created man to express him and represent him. Can you and I possibly express and represent God apart from this organic union, apart from our mingled spirit? There's only one possibility that we could express God and represent God, and that is by remaining in our mingled spirit, treasuring the organic union. Watchman Nee, he said, there are two words that are precious to me, utter helplessness. Yeah. Watchman Nee, you'd have to say he was an exceptionally gifted man, but he said two words are precious to him, utter helplessness. He realized that apart from this organic union, he could do nothing, absolutely helpless. But sometimes we feel we can do some things. Can you be a husband? Or can I be a husband? Apart from me, you can do nothing. I've just spent the past 5 weeks with three of my grandchildren. I'm convinced I cannot be a grandfather, right? Apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't do anything at all apart from Christ. We may endeavor to, but sooner or later, you and I will realize that apart from this organic union, treasuring this link that we have with the triune God, we absolutely simply cannot do anything. So the growth of our faith comes by remaining in this organic union with the Lord. The more we're in this organic union, the more faith we will have. Faith will grow, faith will increase, and faith will abound. So Dee says, faith is the linking of our salvation. It links God with us and links us to God. This linking makes us God-man. So faith is the linking of our salvation. We've received initial salvation through faith, but you and I, we still need to be saved. How about our continual salvation? It's also through the same way that we received our initial salvation. So our initial salvation is by faith, and our continual ongoing salvation is also by faith. So the organic union that we have is carried out by the linking faith. If we stay and remain in this linking faith, the Lord will work out spontaneously organic salvation. Sometimes we find certain habits hard to give up, and the more we try, it seems the more they flourish. But if we remain in the organic union, faith will grow. This faith will continue organic salvation within our being. Organic salvation doesn't come just by our endeavoring or by our wishing, or even, brothers and sisters, just by our prayer. We need to be linked to this faith which is in our spirit. Spontaneously, organic salvation will transpire within our being. So I'll just read E. We live Christ by a linking organ, and this linking organ is faith. We may never have heard before that faith actually is an organ, but the linking organ that we live Christ by is faith. Thus, Paul says in Galatians 2:20 that the life he lived by faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So faith here is mentioned as an organ. It's mentioned as a faculty that links us to Christ. And it doesn't just link us to Christ. It links us to a living of Christ. So Christ wants to live on earth again today. But how is he going to live on earth today? It's by this linking faith. By this linking faith, we can live a life that is Christ right now. So we live Christ when we are linked to the living Christ. I'd just like to read a statement to you. The linking organ of faith links us to the life that Christ lived on this earth and to the life that he wants to live in us now. We're linked by this faith to the life he did live, and we're linked by this faith to the life he wants to live right now, where you are, in your job, in your home, and in your office. So F says, when we call upon the Lord by saying, "Oh Lord Jesus, I love you." Should we just declare that again? Oh Lord Jesus, I love you. When we call upon the Lord by saying, "Oh Lord Jesus, I love you," he becomes the faith imparted into us, so that we spontaneously live him by this faith. Living faith operates through our love for the Lord. He himself, as the faith, becomes our faith, and this is the linking organ to link us to the unlimited, infinite Christ. We love him. The more we love him, the more we have him as our faith to live him. I just like that simple utterance. The more we love him, the more we have him as our faith to live him. We might think, well, calling on the Lord is a little bit basic, isn't it? I heard that when I came into the church life 17 years ago. You're just dishing up 17-year-old leftovers, brother. If you think like that, I just ask you to drop your concept. Calling on the Lord and telling him that you love him is a big, big secret. And it's a big key to this linking faith, developing, growing, being cultivated within us. Galatians 5:6. Faith avails, operating through love. So the more you love the Lord, the more faith avails, becomes prevailing within you being. The less you love the Lord, then faith possibly will diminish. But the more you love the Lord, faith will increase. Faith will grow. Faith will be cultivated. What's the way to have more faith? It's to have more love for the Lord. Let me read this to you. A person who does not love Christ, one, cannot live Christ. How about that? A person who does not love Christ cannot live Christ. And then secondly, Christ cannot become his faith experientially. So if we don't love the Lord, brothers and sisters, we can't live him. And then the Lord, in turn, cannot become our faith in an experiential way. So Jesus says, by just speaking a simple word to the Lord in conversation with him, out of our love for him, and by a little calling on the Lord, we are infused with him. The infusing of Christ into us causes us to have him as our faith, which is the linking organ that links us with him. This is the way to live Christ. I treasure the simplicity of these words. Speaking a simple word. How about by a little calling? Just by a little calling, it's enough to be filled with Christ's faith. We don't have to call on the Lord so loudly, so strongly, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we don't necessarily have to do that to be filled with Christ as our faith. The main thing is we love him. Lord Jesus, I love you. I'm tempted, why don't for 20 seconds you just pray that little phrase with your neighbor? Lord Jesus, I love you. Just for 20 seconds. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. H says, we believers walk by faith, by our unseen God, not by sight. This faith links us all the time to our wonderful God. And then I says, to walk by faith means that our walk is linked with God. In Luke 18, the Lord indicated that we also suffer persecution by faith. In Luke 18:8, the Lord said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This means we have to suffer all the persecutions by faith. Sometimes we do suffer trials, tribulations, and persecutions. Right? We go with the Lord outside the camp. Maybe at work, people don't appreciate your faith in Christ. Right, in the church life, right, some have lost their jobs in the past because of being practicing the church life. But we endure and we live and we suffer these things, right, by this linking faith. So 5 says, the way to receive such a linking faith is to contact its source, the processed and consummated God. Hallelujah. We have a way to contact the source. Linking faith has a source, and that linking faith is determined whether we contact that linking faith is related to the processed and consummated triune God. God has passed through some amazing stages. You think about it. The God of this universe was conceived into the womb of a human virgin. What kind of process and stage was that? Right, then he was born and he lived a human life in a very, very hidden way, right, in the home of a poor carpenter. And then for 3.5 years, he allowed the creatures whom he created, right, to do what they did to him. and then they put him to death. Then he was resurrected. These are the processes that our God has passed through. Why? In order that you and I can contact him. Our God is contactable. Our God is experientiable. We contact him as the processed and consummate. Consummated means the process he started has come to a conclusion, right? There's been a finality with respect to the process that he began. He has been consummated to be the Spirit, and now he is contactable. Just a little calling, brothers and sisters. Lord Jesus, right? Just a little conversation. Lord, I do love you. Lord, I don't want to really be up here speaking, but Lord, I just love you. Right? All these kinds of conversations, they make a difference. Conversing with the Lord makes a difference. You know, I converse with my wife. If we never conversed, there's something amiss there, don't you think? Do we have this intimacy? Do we have this love? If you love someone, you will just burst into conversation with them. It just comes out of you. It's just something that wells up within your being because you love that person. Just a little conversing with the Lord, a little calling, makes a big, big difference in our Christian experience. So I'll carry on reading. The way to receive such a linking faith is to contact its source, the processed and consummated God. How? By calling on him, praying to him, pray reading his word, and musing on his word. This faith links us with God and imparts, transfuses God into us. Then we will become men of faith. So the scripture references there. Calling on him is Romans 10 and 2 Timothy 2. Praying to him, pray reading his word, is Ephesians 6. And musing on his word is Psalm 119. I think I should read to you the footnote in Psalm 119. It's footnote 1. If you have your recovery version, you can follow along. The verse is, I will muse upon your precepts and regard your ways. Rich in meaning, the Hebrew word for muse, often translated meditate in the King James Version, implies to worship, to converse with oneself, and to speak aloud. To muse on the word is to taste and enjoy it through careful considering. Prayer, speaking to oneself, and praising the Lord may also be included in musing on the word. To muse on the word of God is to enjoy his word as his breath, and thus to be infused with God, to breathe God in, and to receive spiritual nourishment. You notice how many of the verbs there relate to opening our mouth? I'm just reminded of the hymn in the hymn book, our mouth, can someone help me? Our mouth shut up defeats us and wins the devil's smile. So why not? Why not, brothers and sisters? Why not open battle and chase him all the while? In your daily life, how much do you open your mouth? Either to pray out loud, to call, to sing, to praise. Do you do it? I know, I'm conscious, you don't do it enough, Michael. You do open your mouth, but you don't do it enough. We have to learn to open our mouth, right? Opening our mouth, we have another song, and I think it's the Young People's Songbook. Our spirit is connected to our mouth. Is that how it goes? Our spirit is connected to our mouth. You want to enjoy the linking faith in your spirit? Open your mouth. One organ is within you, the other is outside of you. But they're connected. They're connected. Our spirit and our mouth are connected together. So you and I, we have to learn to open our mouth and not allow our defeatist mind, right, to shut our mouth. Because without opening our mouth, our contacting of the linking faith in our spirit is not so strong, it's not so sweet, it's not so applicable if we don't open our mouth more and more in our daily living. So A says, this faith links us with God and in parts transfuses God into us to become our living faith. This is the faith of the believers in its progressing stage. So the linking faith is in us. It's there from our very initial believing. But there's also a stage of progression. The faith within us needs to grow. It needs to be developed, and it needs to increase more and more. Romans 1:17 says that the righteous shall have life and live by faith. This verse reveals that the structure of the gospel of God is the righteousness of God, the life of Christ, and the faith of the believers. This verse can also be considered as the banner of God's New Testament economy. Actually, this verse is an abstract of the entire book of Romans. You have the righteousness of God, which is judicial. You have the life of Christ, which is organic. You have the faith of the believers, which is practical. How is the righteousness of God and the organic life of Christ going to become linked to you? It's by faith. Faith makes God's righteousness in a judicial sense and Christ's life in an organic sense practical to you. It links the righteousness of God and the organic life of Christ to us in a practical way. I should carry on. D, to have life by faith is the initiation. To live by faith is the going on, the progressing stage of faith. Faith in the second stage, the progressing stage, is the linking faith that comes to us through our contacting the triune God. And I'd just like to read a couple of paragraphs from this book. The initial faith is the initial faith in the initial stage came to you through the hearing of the Word of God. But faith in the second stage, the stage to live Christ, comes mostly not by hearing the word. Faith in this stage comes to you by your contacting God in Christ. We need to hear the word, but for the progressing stage of faith, we need to contact the triune God. So you have to contact the triune God all the time. All the time you should contact the Son, then you will also touch the Father and the Spirit. Faith in the second stage comes to us through our contacting the triune God. It is not just to hear the word. In the second stage of faith, hearing the word does not work much. In the second stage, hearing the word doesn't work as well as contacting the triune God directly. In this stage, faith comes into you increasingly like the electrical current in a building. You can tell that a current in you is going on. The more you say, "Oh Lord Jesus," the more the current is going on. The more you pray, the more the current is going on. This is why we are told to pray unceasingly. This current should not be stopped. This is the linking stage of faith. This faith within us is God Himself in Christ. The current shouldn't stop. In other words, you have to keep calling. You have to keep praying. The more the better. The more prayer, the more calling we have in our daily life, the more this progressing stage of faith will go on within our being. So E says, actually, the illustration, you know, of the electrical current is really marvelous. As long as the electrical appliance is connected to the flow of electricity, everything is okay. Everything. The appliance will manifest the purpose for which it was made, as long as the current is going on. If the current stops, then it dies. But if the current goes on, it just manifests the purpose for which it was created. You and I, we were created for a particular purpose. If the current stops, it's all over. But if we maintain this connection, right, this linking faith by calling, by praying, we will spontaneously manifest the purpose for which we were created. And what was that purpose? Just to live Christ. The Father only wants you and I to live His Son. As long as you live His Son, the Father's happy. Doesn't matter what else you do, but as long as you live the Son, the Father is happy. But it's determined by this flow, this current of the divine life made real to us by means of the linking faith. So he says, if you contact God, faith grows in you. You better turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you contact God, faith grows in you. Saints, this is it. If you contact God, faith grows in you. I think I can sit down. Shall I sit down? If you contact God, faith grows in you. The point goes on, which means that God increases in you. In other words, faith growing in you equals God increasing in you. And God increasing in you and me equals faith growing in us. We all have the same faith in quality, but the quantity of faith we have depends upon how much we contact the living God, so that we may have Him increased in us. When God increases in us, the linking faith in the second stage grows in us. The scriptural verse, Colossians 2:19, says that the body grows with the growth of God. But 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says that your faith grows exceedingly. So faith growing in us and God growing in us are one and the same thing. So Romans 6 says, Romans 12:3 says, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to be sober-minded, as God has apportioned to each a measure of faith. Amen. Romans 12:1 talks about the presenting of our bodies. Romans 12:2 talks about the renewing of our mind. And Romans 12:3 talks about being sober-minded. You can have a little equation here. Verse 1 plus verse 2 results in or issues in verse 3. If your mind is not renewed, you will think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Right, this is why Paul has this phrase, this verse, right after verse 2. We have to think in a sober way, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. So this is the aspect of faith in our function. So to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think without a sober mind annuls the proper order of the body life. God gave us the same faith in quality, but not in quantity. The matter of quantity depends upon how we grow. If we grow today as the Apostle Paul grew, the portion of faith we receive will be greatly enlarged. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says that God allotted us faith. When we believe, God gave us an allotment of faith. But in Colossians 1:12, it says that God, let me find it, Christ is our God-allotted portion. So there's two kinds of allotments here. 2 Peter, it's an allotment of faith. In Colossians, it's an allotment of Christ. Actually, Christ is our faith, and faith is Christ. The God-allotted portion of the saints is the God-allotted faith, which is Christ Himself. So we all have the same faith, but we don't have the same amount of faith. Depends on how the faith we have received has been enlarged. So B continues this. God first allotted faith to us in quality, and then He apportioned it in quantity. What kind of faith we have depends upon God's allotment. How much faith we have depends upon God's apportioning. In other words, faith can increase. God can apportion us more faith. So the only way to have this apportioning increase within us is by contacting the Lord who is within us. The more we contact the Lord, the more there will be an apportioning of faith. God's apportioning depends upon our attitude. If we are not sober-minded, God would not increase his apportioning of faith to us, and he would probably even decrease it. My goodness. I think we could read this point in a more of a positive way. If we are sober-minded, God would increase his apportioning of faith to us. If we're sober-minded, God will increase. Faith can increase. The apportioning of faith within us from God can increase. The more faith we have, the more we might do things that surprise us. You know, you might migrate to Scotland. You could. If God apportions you more faith, something might. There's a family in London who are moving to Scotland right now. I mean, they're on their way. I don't mean today, but right, they're in the process of moving to Scotland. What happened? There was an allotment of faith. The brother actually told me, I have the faith, right? God apportioned him faith to move to Scotland. I know a couple, they migrated from Auckland, New Zealand to Glasgow, Scotland. What was that? That was an apportioning, right, of faith. Faith works, faith operates, faith is dynamic, faith is powerful because it can move people from one side of the planet to the other. That is the apportioning of faith. So we come now to Romans 7. Faith is the indicator of the believer's life in the enjoyment of the divine Trinity. The indicator, the word indicator here means sign. Faith is a sign, an indicator of the believer's life in the enjoyment of the divine Trinity. So I'll read A. Paul remembered the Thessalonians' work of faith. Their faith became such an indicator of their life in the enjoyment of Christ that they became a pattern to all the believing ones. So the verses in Thessalonians talk about work of faith, pattern to all those who believe because of their faith, to all those who believe in Macedonia and Achaia, and your faith toward God has gone out. So B says, faith is not for us to accomplish great things. Faith is for us. Maybe we could just read this point together from the beginning. Faith is not for us to accomplish great things. Faith is for us to live God, to express God, and to minister God to people. Faith is not for us to perform something great. Faith is to live God and annul ourselves. What will faith do to you? It will annul you. Can you say hallelujah? Faith will annul you. Faith will cause you to be over history. But there's a marvelous heavenly remainder, which is the living of Christ. So faith is not for us to perform something great. It's for us to live Christ, express Christ, and minister God to one another in the midst of all our circumstances and situations. You know, we might have faith in the Lord to believe that a certain matter will come to a conclusion, a certain financial trial, a certain health trial would come to an end, and we have faith in that, for the Lord will do that. But as we pass through that trial, do we live Christ? Do we have the faith to live him at that point? Do we have the faith to express him and the faith to minister him to others in the midst of our trials and tribulations? So faith, see, in all that we are and do, people must see that we are enjoyers of God. We should always bear an indication or a sign that we are nothing, but God in Christ is everything to us. We need to be those who, like Watchman Nee, pay more attention to life than to work. So faith is an indication that declares, I am not, he is. Right? We are not. Lord, you are, I am not. Right? This makes us a pattern of living and magnifying Christ to others. So 8, the linking faith is the divine requirement for the overcomers to meet Christ in his triumphant return. This is based on Luke 18:8, where the Lord said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So through the leadership of the ministry saints, we've been brought into a situation of learning not to trust in ourselves. And I think Paul exemplifies this in a tremendous way in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says that they were excessively burdened beyond our power. In other words, his circumstantial situation was so heavy, he couldn't bear it. It was excessive. Then he said, it was beyond our power, so that we despaired even of living. I can't imagine what kind of circumstances that was. Maybe not many of us have perhaps been in that kind of environment where the weight of our circumstances are so heavy that it's beyond reason. It's just excessive. And we've despaired even of living. You know, you'd have to say that that was something sovereign of the Lord, what Paul and his co-workers passed through. The Lord was training them not to have any confidence or assurance in themselves. That was the purpose. Maybe there are other purposes, but the Lord was certainly training them not to have any confidence or any kind of assurance that they were able to work the situation out. So, linking faith, brothers and sisters, is the requirement related to the overcomers. A says, "May the Lord be merciful to us, that when he comes back, he can find us as the believing ones who always trust in him, not in ourselves, and who always have no assurance in ourselves." J.N. Darby once said, "Oh, the joy of having nothing and being nothing, seeing nothing, but a living Christ in glory and being careful for nothing but his interests down here." This is faith. Nothing can make God happy except faith. If you want to make God happy, just take care of the linking faith growing, abounding, and being cultivated within you being. So faith is to believe that God is. Faith is to say, "We are not. No longer I, but Christ." You know, that quote by J.N. Darby, you could read it this way: "The joy of having nothing but a living Christ in glory, the joy of being nothing but a living Christ in glory, the joy of having nothing, is it? Being careful for nothing, seeing nothing but a living Christ in glory." The joy of being nothing. Brothers and sisters, is there a joy within us related to this, being nothing? I'm not sure if I have that joy. That joy. The joy of being nothing. There's a joy there related to just being nothing, right? So we just carry on with the conclusion, towards the conclusion of the outline. We are not for big miracles, big works, or big careers. The Lord is expecting to find at his coming back the ones who live by the linking faith. Christ expects to find us as his hidden overcomers. The scripture reference is there, Romans 11. It's Elijah's situation when he said that there were no prophets left, only he was left. "Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have torn down your altars, and I am left alone, and they are seeking my life." But what does the divine answer say to him? "I have reserved for myself." As I was somewhat praying over this and, you know, preparing this point, there was just something within me. "Lord, reserve me for yourself." That was just a prayer. "Lord, I want to be reserved by you for yourself." Right? We should all have this prayer within us, that we could become one of the Lord's hidden overcomers. You know, one of the references there, Psalm 83, talks about your hidden ones. The overcomers are hidden ones. They're not so manifest, not so strong, not so capable, but they have a linking faith. It's linking faith that produces them as the overcomers. So Lord, reserve us. May there be such a prayer within that the Lord would reserve us to be his hidden overcomers. 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You know, to bow the knee to Baal just means to give first place to something or someone other than Christ. Maybe we bow the knee to Baal multiple times during the day. It's quite possible, right, that we bow the knee to Baal numerous times during a day. Whenever we give place, preeminence to someone or something other than Christ, that is to bow the knee. But Lord, preserve us, preserve me, right, that we could be one of the Lord's hidden overcomers. The believers who live an overcoming and exalting life by the linking faith will be found by Christ at his return as the treasures, ready to receive the salvation of their souls at the end of their faith. This point will be covered tomorrow morning. Then today we are making ourselves ready to be his bride. To make ourselves ready is to become an overcomer who is always linked by the living faith with the triune God. There's some verses there. Matthew 25 says, those who were ready. And Revelation 19 says, the bride, the wife, has made herself ready. We want to be those who are ready by means of the linking faith. And then 9, the overcomers who live by faith will be rewarded by Christ with the co-kingship and the top enjoyment of the divine life with him in the millennium. The Lord will then say to his overcomers, well done, good and faithful slave, enter into the joy of your master. The word joy there, there's a footnote in Matthew 25 on that word joy. The joy of your master signifies the enjoyment of the Lord in the coming kingdom. But there's a similar footnote in Philippians 3:14, where Paul says, I pursue toward the goal for the prize. The prize is the uttermost enjoyment of Christ in the millennial kingdom. So the joy in Matthew 25 is the prize that Paul was pursuing in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. The prize is to enter into the Lord's joy, which is the enjoyment of himself in the coming millennial kingdom. Saints, this is why we're here. This is the goal of the linking faith, right? The goal of the linking faith is that ultimately we could be brought into the Lord's joy, right? Taking and enjoying him as our prize in the millennial kingdom. So we've come to the end, Roman numeral 10. Shall we read together? Shall we just read Roman 10 together? By this linking faith, we are linked to God. For the producing of the organic members of Christ, to constitute and build up his organic body, which will be New Jerusalem, as the enlargement and expression. The righteous shall have life, live by faith. This living by faith is the linking faith of the overcomers. Amen.